This is our league, and this is your league. From the 55-yard line on CFL America Radio and the Sports History Network.
Stand by, 15 seconds to air. Stand by, all cameras and videotape.
Ready with your opening graphics. Stand by, Howard. Here we come, Frank. Ready, Don.
Stand by, audio, your opening music, and roll tape.
Take tape.
For 30.
Is the 30th anniversary of the events surrounding the strike in the NFL of 1987, and these replacement players whose story we're telling haven't been eager to reopen those wounds. I mean, they were called scabs at the time because they crossed the picket line to play football. You'd think it would be a badge of honor to be able to say, hey, I played on the biggest stage in sports. I contributed to a Super Bowl winning season. But the reality is that over the last 30 years, they've been conditioned by life not to bring these events up.
We came here and done a job.
Hundreds of men have found work in a whole new field, taking the jobs of striking players in the National Football League.
I thought that's what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life.
If you answer yes, give yourself a point.
Right back once again, he's pressured.
We were all given an opportunity. We shared that opportunity, and that made us a team.
NFL players tried to hold the line.
Scab!
Second down, goal to go.
It was called scab ball.
That was what I did. That's who I was. That was my identity.
Bunch of scabs.
This is a union town. It's going to stay a union town.
They think they can get into a big restaurant deal.
This is not real professional football.
West coming from the Redskins.
Our backs were to each other. We're like the Christians about to go out and face the Lions, you know?
Scabs!
This time he fires it over the middle to McEwen.
It was something you worked your whole life to get to, and embrace the moment, because obviously it's going to end and you're going to have to go back to your life, to your job.
It's a horse race, 40, 30, 20, he's gone.
28 years old, at the crossroads of my career, I was hoping that there was, you know, one more chance out there.
NFL players will strike after.
It's getting scary, I'll tell you what, people are getting mad.
The man got him in the corner, touchdown!
Right there's where the pain comes in on the front of the hip now.
Take that jersey off, you disgraceful.
The game goes away and the pain goes on. Physically, I'm broken. Mentally, I'm broken. And spiritually. Sometimes I almost wish it didn't happen.
Growing up, I started playing quarterback from I was about 5-6 years old. That's all we done in my neighborhood. We played ball in the streets. It was a dead-end street, it was on a hill, and you could just imagine playing football up on a hill. That's the way I learned to play some tackle football, man. We had some fun. I left a lot of skin on those streets.
Yeah, that's semi-gloss right there, too. Yeah, that's all semi-gloss.
You know, you had to be tough to grow up in my neighborhood, and it just made me even tougher, you know, going into college. And I'm a competitor. You know, if I can beat you 100-0, I'll beat you 100-0.
I can still shake and bake every now and then, but I pay for it afterwards. I pay for it afterwards.
Looking back at it now, when the opportunity's there, you got to jump on it and get it. You know, you got to cherish them while they're happening. And that's how I got my shot to play in the NFL.
You can trace all the largesse of NFL teams today. $3.2 billion franchise value, huge television contracts, big stadia, all to the fact that there's been labor peace since 1987.
Jack Donlin arrived first this morning, just before 11:30. The executive director of the NFL's Management Council is a veteran of the negotiating wars.
We're going to know in a couple of days whether or not we're going to be able to cut this deal. And if we can't cut this deal, I think it's...
The owners at that point seem to have a very simple agenda. Break the union and crush the players.
Now, the players say we're trying to break the union, which is utter nonsense. I just ask who's trying to break whom.
We're not here to destroy the NFL.
In August of 1987, NFL Players Association director Gene Upshaw, a former Oakland Raider who was inducted into the Hall of Fame earlier that month, was now preparing to do battle with the owners.
We're not coming off our position. I can tell you that now.
With the players' collective bargaining agreement set to expire, the union wanted a better deal. And Upshaw drew a line in the sand over his union's most pressing issue.
The big issue is free agency. The opportunity for players to change teams at will. The players want it, the owners don't.
Back then, there wasn't any free agency, so if you were drafted by a team, you were there. Basically saying that you're the property of this team and you cannot move, that is not right.
I said, at what point in a player's career could he be free? And they said, not even after 100 years.
They want as little turnover as possible in regards to their team, and free agency was a threat to that.
They told me either I accepted their position or we could strike. I said, I'll see you on the street.
The threat of a strike was hardly new to NFL owners. In 1982, a 57-day work stoppage cost the league $325 million as stadiums went dark for 8 weeks. Now, labor was threatening to walk out once again. Publicly, the owners played the victim. Privately, they were spoiling for a fight.
This is a rotten, dirty trick to the people who have made this the most popular sport in America, to again in 5 years say, frig you.
Terrified of losing the entire season, team owners looked for a secret weapon to keep the revenue flowing if the players decided to walk. They turned to one of the most powerful figures in the history of the NFL. Tex Schramm was the visionary GM of the Dallas Cowboys. He'd engineered everything from the NFL-AFL merger to sideline cheerleaders.
Well, we've had four strikes in four bargaining sessions. We just decided that this time we were not going to go black. We were going to play football.
He concocted an alternative NFL universe in which the regular season schedule would continue with replacement players. A collection of NFL cast-offs, has-beens, and never-weres, otherwise known as...
Scab.
Scab.
Scab. Scab.
You know, when I had the NFL dream as a teenager, my intention was not to hurt anybody, to take bread off the table of other people's homes. Everything that I did, all of my intentions and all of my work and my dedication was to make a roster, and that's what I set out to do. When I fell short of that, you know, I had to deal with reality. You know what? You call it what you want to call it. We contributed to breaking a union strike. Where we're going to go with this in future lessons is we'll start to look at the ability for you to meet the demands of everyday life. I respect unions, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm in a teacher's union, so I understand the value. I was called scab today at work, believe it or not, by a woman. She found out and she turned to me and said, oh, you are a scab. And, you know, that's a raw nerve. I don't mean any disrespect to the players' union, but you're comparing it to a working-class American family.
The sled's whooping our ass today.
I don't know if professional athletics is the same as looking at the Teamsters or pipe fitters.
Attaboy, Med.
There was no opportunity for me to play football for anybody.
Let's have everybody take one shot, okay?
But reality changed for me in the late September of 1987, and it was the Washington Redskins, and I accepted it.
The 1987 NFL season started as scheduled. But as the league entered its second week of play, things were hardly business as usual.
Once again, professional athletes are preparing to perform on a picket line.
Of course, nobody wants a strike, including the players.
Everybody's going to lose if we go on strike.
No strike! No strike!
The NFL owners promise stadiums will not remain empty, even if it means replacing strikers.
Hopefully it won't come to scab games and picket signs.
The real key is going to be the solidarity of the players.
The Washington Redskins unanimously voted to back the union 100%.
I'd be heartbroken if the players kept their word on that. I don't believe they will.
We can't sit around and wait and hope for miracles to happen. We know what the strike date is, September 22nd. At this point, we have no choice but to prepare for the worst.
NFL owners would do the same. With the strike looming, the gold rush for talent was on.
Should there be a strike next week and we play, do you want to play?
290-pound Tracy Franz had been working as a construction laborer and truck driver.
We were shocked that they would do something so detrimental to the brand.
I think we can field exciting football teams.
Is that why you did this, just for one last shot at glory?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have had much of a chance if I stayed in a bar down in Williamsburg.
Good all-around bartender.
You have to play a game a week from Sunday. How are you going to get started?
I don't know. I'm not trying to be funny, though.
While most teams around the league scrambled to prepare for a strike, one team had put together an airtight blueprint for success.
I think it's fun. It's exciting, and that's what I'm hired for, to put players on the team that can win, and that's what Joe Gibbs is hired for, to coach the players to win.
Yeah, I think that's what's exciting about it. You got the guys got their opportunity. That's something they've always wanted.
Joe Gibbs and Bobby Bethard, this brain trust was one of the greatest formed in the history of the NFL, and they were able to win Super Bowls because of it.
Bobby was excited. Let's go get as many guys as we can. Let's try and win games.
It's like an arms race. You got to have to get out there and get it done.
I was doing deliveries for a rust-proofing company, and I got a call, and they said, the Redskins want to know if you want to come play during the strike. And I thought to myself, no, I want to drive around in this car doing deliveries for a rust-proofing company. Of course I want to play.
My brother John said, the Washington Redskins called you. And I said, get out of here. And I said, okay, who was it? And he said, Charlie Casser. And I said, Charlie Casserly?
This wasn't really scouting out. This was collecting as many bodies as you could get to line up and try to run a practice.
I was in my dad's living room. I'm just sitting there with my Count Chocula, Fruity Pebbles. And when the phone rang, I didn't care if I was playing against Northport High School's JV team. All I know is I'm going to get on the grass.
Got this guy from Hamburger U. He just showed up. McDonald University. What was he doing last week?
We got players out of Canada. We got players out of a halfway house. We got players who had been ex-Redskins that hadn't played in a year.
Charlie Casserly is calling my house sometimes twice a day. The girl that I was dating at that time even called her house.
Tex Schramm of the Cowboys left the Cubs early this afternoon, saying that there had been no progress.
Almost a panic situation. We've got to get these guys signed right away.
I remember talking to Bethard, and are we really going to play a game? He said, you are going to play an NFL football game in like 10 days.
NFL players will strike after Monday night's game.
I didn't even go home and pack. I went to LaGuardia and jumped on a shuttle dressed like this.
As everyone well knows by now, the players in the National Football League will go on strike at midnight.
It was on like Donkey Kong, and I was ready to roll out the barrel and monkey around like a 300-pound gorilla.
In other news, National Football League players are on strike this morning. The 1987 season came to a halt during the night when the final gun sounded at the end of the Jets-Patriots game at Giant Stadium. NFL owners are vowing to resume the season October 4th with a collection of free agents and any players who cross the picket lines.
Many players around the NFL were pounding the sidewalks on this walkout. The players haven't gotten much sympathy from fans around the country. While some players argued with fans, they were being replaced in the locker rooms by free agents.
Get the press out of here.
The regular players decided that this is the plan, that we're going to go out to the park, we'll get there early and make a statement.
They were out early and out in force outside the Redskins training center.
Before that first practice, it was explained to us that we're going to be shuttled back and forth by a bus, that it was recommended that we stay with the team, that we don't wander.
Darrell Grant had his armor fatigue on, like the Sixers, the Black Panthers or something, you know.
A chartered bus carrying the new non-union Redskins made its way down Redskins Lane.
It's getting scary. I'll tell you what, I think people are getting mad.
Yeah. We had heard all kinds of rumors about, you know, what was going to happen. And as we took the right to go through the gates at Old Redskin Park, we're riding into God knows what.
In front, strikers position themselves in its path. While the men on the bus nervously looked out the window, things began to get nasty.
Sit down, guys. Oh, you guys.
You fucking pussies, you know, come off this bus, we'll beat the living shit out of you.
Darrell Grant was being egged on by McEwen.
F these guys, man. Who are they to call me a scab? They don't know me. Let them in the fence. Let's go.
Go fuck yourself, you rich, fat fuck.
I'm just kind of staring down, and out of the blue, boom.
Defensive end Darrell Grant actually broke one of the windows.
It just ran and shattered, and all of the glass fell out. And then I heard a bunch of girls screaming on that bus, and they were crying.
They're shooting!
That's when it really hit home that I wonder if this is the best decision or not.
We didn't expect, you know, getting attacked, but that's how angry and how upset they were that we were there.
It's a traumatic time for everybody. I think we're going to have two or three. I think we're going to lose. Guys have changed their mind after they got here.
Got a little emotional thinking like, all right, do I want to do it? Do I want to stay here?
We're going to be underdogs, I imagine. And, you know, they got like.
I think Ed Ruber started watching the TV. You know, what's going to happen when we get there Sunday?
What's going to be unfortunate if there's some of them that can play in the NFL, if they ever get on a team, the guys won't ever accept it.
Would we ever get a chance to play in the NFL, or would we just not ever get that opportunity because we crossed the picket line? Nobody knew I was leaving. I just got my bag, called a cab, went to the airport, got on a plane, and went home. We're heading to my mom and dad's house in New City. It's kind of where I grew up, loving the game of football and playing with my older brothers. This is home, and this is where nobody's gonna call me a scab today. Hey, hey, hey!
Hey, hey, man. Hey, what's happening, bro?
Wait. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good to see you. I always idolize my older brothers.
What's up, my brother?
How you doing?
Wait,
my brother Billy's team, you know, I was the ball boy. I guess I had to be maybe 6 or 7 at the time he was playing. Just really gravitated to wanting to be a football player, wanting to be just like him.
There's the contract from it. Look at that.
There's the contract.
Mom had saved that. Could get a lawyer and find some perks in there that
some,
they never gave you.
Legality?
Right?
Is that I'm owed?
Yeah, wow. Look at this, too, what she had.
Signing with the Redskins. Obviously, you had some second thoughts. Rupert leaves Redskins.
Local paper and journal news?
Yeah, very little article, although it became the biggest thing in the county.
Not much going on in this town, huh?
You weren't talking about the county.
He was looking for free drinks, pretending he was
I was getting free drinks because they thought I was...
With Ed Rupert MIA, Beathard was desperate for a quarterback. True to form, he found one in the most unlikely of places.
Former Tennessee star Tony Robinson was released today from the Knox Valley Penal Farm on a work release furlough after serving 90 days on a drug conviction that threatens to derail a once promising future in the NFL.
I'm gonna be going home, Tony.
Tony Robinson, as far as I heard, man, he was some ex-con that they pulled out of jail on a parole to try and, you know, sneak across the state line to come up and play ball with us. All right, I mean, he's going to play.
Robinson will throw the ball. Ducks away, coming up for the first down. He's got it and a lot more. You don't think that isn't a natural quarterback, huh? Tony Robinson, he's one of the best in the country.
Before his stint in prison, Robinson had been a Heisman hopeful at the University of Tennessee. A pro career seemed certain.
Tony was an incredibly talented player.
Sports Illustrated, come to do a story on Bo Jackson in my stadium. I'm like, nah, not here in Knoxville. That's not going to happen.
Tony Robinson back trying to check it early, goes deep with it. He's got a man, McGee, touchdown.
And he threw four touchdowns in that game. 1 month, I'm playing in front of 100,000 people. And the next month, I get arrested. And I'm walking into a couple thousand people in prison, you know, murderers and, you know, whatever. And, you know, it's being a 21, 22-year-old kid, it's devastating. As far as football is concerned, you know, I thought it was over with.
The first-time offense seemed to sentence Robinson to a life without football. But a reprieve came in the form of Bobby Bethard.
I had the feeling after being with Tony and some of the people that were close to him, he's a good guy. He was a good person. So I think it was right of us to say, hey, we want him.
I've never heard of anybody being let out of prison to go play football.
Maybe this would be his only chance. I said, hey, right, let's give the guy a shot.
But the stipulations were, once I got through playing, that I had to turn myself in and finish my time.
While the picketing continues outside Redskin Park, inside, the Skins have close to 60 free agents preparing for a game next week against the Cardinals.
We were just excited with the opportunity to play, but we all knew about what was going on outside of those walls.
Can you see anything?
These are some big cats. You're being stalked. We're the prey.
They were out there in full force. They knew a lot of the guys that had come through the Redskins training camp, and they would call those guys out by name.
Hey, McEwen, how's it feel to eat my daughter's Cheerios? How's it feel to make my girl hungry?
94, you're scabbed. You're supposed to catch that thing.
My wife at the time was up on my shoulders with a megaphone.
You think you're something, you're nothing.
Screw it. What are they going to do, beat me up? Hell, it'll probably hurt less than what they did to me on the football field in training camp.
Are you satisfied with the progress so far?
I don't think I've ever been satisfied with practices. You know, always other things you'd like to do, and I think we'll probably know next Sunday where we stand, really.
Washington head coach Joe Gibbs had reason to be nervous. Fresh from prison, Tony Robinson was under intense scrutiny from the league, which included additional drug testing.
All of a sudden, the NFL called and said I couldn't practice anymore.
Just days before Washington's first game against the St. Louis Cardinals, Robinson was summoned to the league offices in New York, where his fate would be decided by Commissioner Pete Rozelle.
Mr. Commissioner won't let me go play. I go back to prison. You're like, dang, I think I'm moving forward. Then all of a sudden I take two steps back.
With Robinson in limbo, Gibbs needed to move quickly.
I was at my parents' house. Phone rings. It was Coach Gibbs and said, Eddie, understand why you left, but we want you back.
Bethard and Gibbs want Rupert back, and I remember talking to Joe Gibbs on that phone right there.
Yeah.
How many people want to play in the NFL? And yet there's only a few that can make it.
I mean, I know it's not how you want to get into the league, is what he said. And I said, yeah, I don't want to cross the picket line. I don't want to do this.
There was a lot of emotion wrapped up in that. You want to do what's best for them, too. You know, their chance to play in the NFL.
And then my brother Billy just pulled me aside. He's like, Eddie, you know, I don't know why you're here. You should be taking advantage of this opportunity.
It was a scene out of that movie of Tom Cruise, All the Right Moves. I took him to a couple of the local pubs and saw all these losers shooting pool all day.
Said, you sure you want to stay home? You're living in your parents' house. You don't have a job. If you don't go back, you're going to regret it the rest of your life. And he was 100% right. And I got on a plane and went back the next day and checked myself into the hotel and was at practice that day.
We're starting to feel a lot more comfortable with each other. At first, it was kind of tough because we didn't know each other. And
it's one of those things where it was chaos, but it was all happening so fast, you didn't have time to really think about a lot of stuff. You're just trying to get people ready to play a football game.
It should be interesting to see what happens next Sunday.
As Ed Rubert rejoined the team, Tony Robinson was cleared by the NFL to return to Washington as well.
With Ed here, I might not get a chance to play. you know, and, you know, but that's the case, you know, but I like to win. If I'm on the bench or on the field, I'm a Redskin. I'm a Redskin, man.
These guys might not be the real Redskins, but they'll be wearing the burgundy and gold. The question now is, will the fans support them?
It's a tale of two highly emotional sets of feelings on the picket lines for striking NFL players and their free agent replacements.
Scabs, go home! Scabs, go home!
You know who the first scab was?
Judas.
Yeah!
The union was not trying to provoke a riot, so whenever that kind of thing happened, we let people know that that wasn't helping the cause.
In St. Louis, striking players tried to block the delivery of Anheuser-Busch products.
Violence was a part of our life. I mean, football players were violent every day, so to us it wasn't that big a deal.
There will not be any cracks in our armor. We will not be treated as cattle.
In Kansas City, striking players arrived brandishing firearms.
It was like a shot that rang out. Anything can happen at this point.
We are human beings that must be treated as human beings, and we're going to stay in this fight until that is addressed.
You know, people, you know, like, oh, wow, you played football. What's it like to be rich and retired? I'm like, I don't know, tell me. Am I a scab?
Sure.
But it's tough, you know? I wouldn't talk about it a lot for many years. But if you think about it, this NFL dream can actually be the downfall of you, you know, if you don't handle it right. When I first got out, I was angry. I was mad as hell. What did I do? I bought a bar. I put Guinness in my bar, and I had an unlimited supply of Vicodin. It was like taking an aspirin for a headache. All of a sudden, I'd be pain-free. Whew, at least I had that going.
If you have any pain at any point, let me know, Craig.
Right there, I've got the, it's the on the side, actually, now.
Okay, let's come on back up, slow and controlled. We'll go arms up, in line with your ears.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I look at my life now. I've been out of work for a while. I've been trying to find work, and I can't get work because, well, what do I got? I don't have a trade or a skill. I don't have a degree, you know? The thing I've done the most significant, would probably be being a replacement player. But the name doesn't carry any value. I struggle with that. Sometimes I almost wish it didn't happen.
Management is really trying to divide the union and bust the union. There's no doubt about that.
You know, Gene Upshaw, there were a lot of things he did very well, but there was never a case to where I think he had 100% of the players.
Sports writers say teams with more solidarity, like the Redskins, stand to gain.
Coach Joe Gibbs had made a point to the team before they went out, you're a team. Go out together, come back together. And he preached it.
Yeah, I think we're still a tight team. Of course, we have a lot of discussions as far as what we do, but once we decide, we do it as a team.
Not that it was easy, because it wasn't like we met and we just high-fived each other. There were some discussions because everybody had mortgage payment and bills to pay.
I can tell you right now that a lot of Redskins wanted to cross the picket line.
They kept a united front publicly, but behind the scenes, it got testy.
I'm putting my family in jeopardy. I'm putting the Redskins organization. I'm really cheating the fans because I'm holding out.
I grew up in the ghetto in Third Ward in Houston, Texas. Didn't give a damn about no union or nothing. I just wanted to have sex and play football when I was young.
I want to do whatever I can to get in there, hopefully that we can start winning some ball games.
Dexter was the one that we were most frustrated with because Dexter made big money in the media.
You know, I was running through my money, you know, like water. So I went and talked to Joe Gibbs and said, I'm crossing the picket line.
Gibbs said, no, you're not crossing.
We didn't want people to break ranks and start coming across the line because I felt like that would destroy our chemistry. We're all going up together and we're all going down together. You know, and I'm sure a lot of those teams in other cities, they didn't have that.
And if there was one team that did things differently, it was Dallas.
Graham, you're the leader, though. You can make things happen.
As the strike wore on, it became a tale of two cities. If Joe Gibbs was preaching unity, Tex Schramm was planning to divide. and conquer.
Randy White is destined for the Hall of Fame. He's the anchor of the Cowboys' defensive line. But Randy decided he wouldn't and couldn't strike.
I can't afford to give up the salary, the money that I'll be making, because at this point in my career, I'll never make that up again.
Randy White knows his decision isn't popular with the union, but he knows he doesn't believe in free agency, and he doesn't believe in losing $31,000 a week.
Not many people really care for Randy White. Even the people in Texas don't like him because he came across the picket line, and I'm sure in Dallas there are going to be some hard feelings.
Within 12 hours, members of the Dallas Cowboys were gathering for a team meeting.
At the meeting that we had, while everyone in the room was trying to at least feign some type of solidarity, Randy came in. He had been drinking already that morning because, you know, it's a lot of pressure right now.
I remember they had a bunch of people in there, rah-rah this, and you know, I knew I was going to have to stand up and say, you know, hey, I'm not going on strike.
Is Captain Scab in there?
You know, I'm a captain with this guy. I don't even know if I want to continue to be a captain with the Dallas Cowboys.
The biggest problem in the Dallas approach was that it turned player against player. It was inherently destabilizing.
The 1987 strike was the NFL's Civil War. Teammates were against teammates, and in the Cowboys' case, Tex Ram didn't care about team chemistry or the things that would divide the team. He only cared about players playing by his rules.
We're about to find out whether the fans prefer scab or scrub football to no football.
300,000 ticket holders who stood in line for refunds may have been a preview of fan sentiment.
They're going to give a less than superior product, therefore I'm turning my tickets in.
The prospect of having an empty stadium was unheard of.
Good morning, I want those credited, please.
I think a large part of the NFL fan base saw this as a war between multimillionaires versus millionaires.
All the clubs overpaid. They're making too much money now.
I think they saw the players as, quote, spoiled brats.
These guys are making $500,000 a year. They're not going to get any sympathy from us.
I want to see football, and I want to see real football, not USFL rejects.
When you buy NFL football, you buy prime rib. You don't expect to be served hot dogs.
After losing a game to the strike that wouldn't be made up, Washington was ready to resume play with the rest of the NFL on October 4th, 1987.
I just remember it being a quiet ride down to RFK Stadium. You don't know what you're heading towards. You don't know what's going to be there when you get there.
Nastiest confrontations of the day at Philadelphia.
We heard that in Philadelphia. Guys were getting dragged out and getting knocked around.
This is a union town. It's going to stay a union town.
We have no intentions whatsoever to have massive picketing. We do not plan to ring the stadiums.
We don't like strike breakers. We don't like union busters.
We will have fun events surrounding the games this weekend.
We think the game is going to be exciting, and we're going to try to make it fun for the people to come out and watch the game.
Tell me that the waiting list for Redskins season tickets is 90 years long. Could you imagine finally having your number called and this is what you get for waiting?
Scab fans suck! Scab fans suck! Take that jersey off, it's disgraceful.
You had people outside the stadium protesting with the Redskins that were out front.
God bless, Scab.
It's gonna be a great game, bunch of scabs.
You had Teamsters out there supporting the union.
We didn't know if the fans were going to support us. We didn't know if they were going to throw batteries at us. We didn't know.
They want the real players, not those clowns inside.
Terribly nervous. I visualized playing in the NFL from the time I was 4 or 5 years old. It's kind of cruel just for doing something that you love as well as you can. We were mocked and belittled. Has-beens,
burnouts, never worse. This should be one of the coolest things in my life. And instead, it's something that is creating pain for me. Am I a scab? Sure, I'm a scab. Call me what you want. I was just a football player. It's always been my identity. Pretty sweet, huh? You know, even 28 years after I was done playing football, what I tell my kids now is if you win, you get rewarded. But if you play sports long enough, at some point it'll break your heart.
You've had a couple weeks of uncertainty, fighting and proposals and boardrooms and players crossing the picket lines. Now, finally, the story moves to the playing field.
Gene Stallings, a head coach of St. Louis.
Washington's opponent would have the advantage, with 14 veterans who broke ranks to play. Washington had none.
Roy Green would be playing their receiver. I mean, here's one of the elite receivers in the NFL.
They're a real deal. They're the real NFL. Am I going to get blindsided by Curtis Greer? Is Roy Green going to score 5 touchdowns?
It was such a surreal moment, like, oh, wow, you always said you could be here, you wanted to be here, and now you're here. You know, don't get beat deep, don't miss a tackle, you know, because the whole world's going to see you now, right? And Roy Green says, hey, be nice, I won't beat you deep.
Clean flicker, Farrell, back to Howler, and going deep down the near side for Roy Green.
And I said, fuck you, Roy.
Double teamed off his fingertip, incomplete at the 5. Good play.
After that play, we started to believe in each other and started to say, you know what, we might be pretty good.
Motion by Wilson to the far side. Takes the snap, drops straight back. Protection's good this time. Going deep, got a man in the corner. Touchdown! Anthony Allen with a touchdown catch.
Going into that game, nobody knew who Anthony Allen was, including me, until I met him in the huddle a couple days before the game.
Well, Anthony Allen had played in the league. He was a little bit reluctant about, you know, coming across the picket line, but we finally convinced him.
He's like, well, this may be your last chance to play in the NFL. I think you better come. By crossing the picket line so late, when I got there, it was game week.
If he tries to come in there like that on the run, see what I'm saying?
They came up and tied the game at 7-7. We called like a little waggle route. Both guys run a little deep out and ups.
Back is Rupert the pass.
And I said, this guy, Anthony Allen, is pretty good. I'm going to throw it to him.
Works around at the goal line, fires it up the field. Got a man deep, got it complete to Anthony Allen at midfield. 40, 30, 20, he's gone. Goodbye, touchdown. Anthony Allen with his second of the day.
Anthony Allen, he just went nuts. I mean, every time you look up the scoreboard, he was running down the sideline.
Going deep. Going to get a bundle. Got Allen. Touchdown. And a new single game receiving record. And a third touchdown.
I think as the game wore on, fans start sensing the competition and how hard guys were playing. And they respected that.
Come on, Anthony Allen.
When things fall into place and you have a day like this, it just, everything goes your way. In the day, everything went my way.
It was just crazy that you can go from being cut 3 weeks earlier to coming and breaking a record.
The stadium started to rock. And they were screaming, stay on strike. It was an unbelievable feeling.
Yeah, that was strange hearing cheers from the stadium where you play all the time, and it was the start of, you know, a bad thing for us.
We don't need them anymore. Stay out.
Stay on strike! Stay on strike! Stay on strike! Stay on strike!
Spring of 83, I got drafted in the 6th round by the Atlanta Falcons. And so I was in the NFL and I was in the union. But I got cut at the last cut in 1987. You can go from in the NFL making that kind of money to not making money at all. And then, you know, the strike comes up and you gotta make decisions. It wasn't just something I took lightly. I thought long and hard about it, and all my union brothers. I felt I was a union guy just like they did. Kennedy, how many years with Safeway?
29 years.
I was in the union when I first started working for Safeway. And I was a union employee for 7 years before I joined the management side. Once you join the management side, of course, you can no longer be in the union. The union's strong here in the warehouse. I believe in the union. You have contracts that come up, but we haven't had a strike here. I don't believe we ever have. We make it work every day.
Good.
Am I a scab? I never liked the term. I think we're better than that. Now, whether you're regulars or not, I think you're risking arm and limb and doing a job and playing a sport. And all you asking for is your time to just show what you can do. And we got the job done. No one could dismiss that.
Just from a football standpoint, I was surprised how smoothly it went.
I didn't think I was going to like it, but it wasn't bad.
After the networks agreed to televise replacement games, teams were able to go on, get their television revenue, and they were able to do business.
Anybody who understands professional football realizes that the quality was inferior to what they're used to.
It looked like football.
This is not real professional football.
It was better than whatever else there was to watch.
Redskins are doing great. We consider them the Redskins. They're the Redskins.
It is Wednesday morning, and Everson Walls is wearing his thoughts. He and his teammates are on strike, and Tex Schramm is fighting back.
With his Cowboys tied for the division lead, the Dallas GM was about to unveil a plan that would make it virtually impossible for his stars to stay on strike.
Tony Dorsett and Ed Jones were notified they would lose big bucks from their annuities if they missed one game.
I didn't want some of the players to not be aware of the effect on their contract of their absence from the team.
The annuities are basically retirement plans for NFL players. As a matter of fact, I had one myself.
Once you get into the strike, you're going to figure you're going to lose some money, so it really doesn't bother me at all.
Dorsett believes in the union's cause, but he knew it wasn't worth sacrificing his $6 million annuity and land deal. And that is why Tony D crossed the picket line and returned to Valley Ranch.
Coach says I got to play, I got to play, but I'm not really looking forward to that.
Holding the annuities over somebody's head to get them to cross the picket line, to me, sounds like blackmail.
You expect a union to check into that?
No, there'd be nothing. I don't know what they would check into.
Tex Schramm led the move to bring replacement players into the game. He put the annuities in players' contracts. But in doing that, he didn't care about the fact that the chemistry of his team was being destroyed by this strike.
The players are strong. There's no doubt about that. And they're willing to close the season if necessary.
When I heard Gene Upshaw say that players were willing to stay out the entire season if they had to, I realized right then and there that he wasn't representing me.
For Joe Montana, it was just a matter of when. Today, the two-time Super Bowl Most Valuable Player finally broke ranks with the union.
As the strike continued to drive a wedge into the picketing players' solidarity, the Scabskins were turning into a real team as they prepared for their second game, a Week 5 matchup against the New York Giants.
When you first got here, all on the bus, everybody's looking around, what's he like, what's he like, feel each other out. Now it's really come together at an incredibly accelerated pace.
Since last season's NFC Championship loss to the Giants, Redskins fans have eagerly awaited this week's rematch.
Last season, the Giants and Redskins had just played one of the most epic NFC Championship games, and the Redskins got their butts kicked.
Now it was a 4 o'clock game in the Meadowlands. This was going to be, you know, the big TV game, if you will, of the week.
And I remember Coach Gibbs saying to us vividly, if we win these games, you will put us one game up on everyone in our division.
It's a homecoming of sort for me because I grew up in New York and graduated high school in New York, so I'm pumped up just to go there and play.
A lot of my friends were Giants fans, and some friends came out to see the game because they could get tickets. My family will watch. Everybody was excited.
Walking into Giants Stadium, it was almost surreal. But once I get past the fact that I'm actually in Giants Stadium, the first thing that comes to mind is, okay, where are the people who are the Giants fans?
They scheduled this game here today, but nobody came. I have never seen Giants Stadium look like this with this few people in attendance.
But we thought the crowd represented the team.
And it looked like the Redskins had it.
And the team we were playing just wasn't that good.
What's coming from the Redskins? Successfully. Again, push goes down at the 1 yard line.
I know I got 2 sacks in the Giants game.
Chased and he's down by Curtis LeGriff.
Why they didn't put it in the stat book, I don't know.
Beg your pardon. Anthony Sagnello got the sack.
We could have put 100 points on him that day.
Touchdown, Dwayne Wilson.
But Gibbs pleaded with us at halftime not to run the score up.
We're only here for the beer. There should be a lot left.
My whole family, all my yahoos from Westport, came down on a bus, and they had overserved themselves quite a bit. They had maneuvered their way down behind our bench, and I was trying to ignore them, but they're screaming at the top of their lungs at me, and the whole team's laughing at me. They're throwing beer cans at me. Coach goes, "These are your people?" I said, "Yes, sir, Coach, those are my people." He's like, "Wow, what a bunch of hooligans." It's just such great memories.
Skip Lane made the stop. This is the day he'll remember.
I grew up, you know, in football. My father was a high school football coach, so it's always been a big part of my life. I was recruited out of high school as a quarterback. I played in Westport, and Steve Young was at Greenwich High. Steve and I played against each other. I think we even dated the same girl.
Look out, kid.
I never thought it would end. I thought I could always be a pro football player. I played in the NFL, you know, not that long, bounced around, but didn't quite get my opportunity.
Hi, Michael, Skip Lane.
I move on into the real world, if you will, and get a real job.
He's got three stories, 5,000 square feet each.
It was difficult to be motivated to come read a lease or show an office building. It'll never be the same as coming out of the tunnel on Monday Night Football and, you know, snapping that chin strap. When the opportunity came to go play for the Redskins, I mean, it was the easiest decision of my life.
That's the boss right there, so you got to be quiet when you come down this corner.
I had to go to the boss, and he was a little apprehensive. You know, that was a $100,000, $200,000 decision to walk away from him. But the life I was walking away from, I knew I could get back into. And if I had the physical body right now, I'd pay $100,000 to go play in free safety for the Redskins. Wouldn't you?
It's a very unusual year, and it's very frustrating.
More breaks occurred in the ranks, including big names like Andre Tippett in New England. And on the Super Bowl champion Giants, Lawrence Taylor took a good look at his wallet.
I come back because I don't like to lose at roughly $60,000 a week.
The guys that crossed weren't first-year players. They were guys that were making a lot of money back then and were tired of the non-negotiations.
Management broke off talks with no date set to resume them.
The goals that they wanted to achieve that they had promised the players, you know, it wasn't realistic.
Plain and simple union busting. That's exactly what it is.
In Dallas, that's the indication that we have.
Next round, you schmuck! Bargain!
Oh, we're union guys. We're going to break them. We're going to show them baloney. And we're talking about guys that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. We're going to break them.
Frustrated players called out for the union to do something, even if it meant backing down.
We took free agency off the table, and they have now broken off negotiations.
You seem to have demonstrated one thing beyond any shadow of a doubt, and that is you don't have the clout to bring these guys down.
And in the meantime, 20 player reps reported their teammates were losing patience.
We were very aware of, especially the Cowboys that were crossing the picket line.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Tex Schramm's strategy to game the strike for his advantage was working to perfection. Heading into their third game of the strike, a Monday night battle for the division against Washington, the Cowboys' replacement roster was stacked with 21 veteran players who had crossed the picket lines, more than any other team in the NFL. Once again, Washington had none.
Holy shit. Cowboys had Danny White, Tony Dorsett, Ed Too Tall Jones, Randy White.
It would be a very difficult task for Joe Gibbs to take a team down there of replacement players and beat the Cowboys in Dallas, I would think.
The regular Redskins, they wanted to be playing in that game. And these scabs were impersonators. You're taking my uniform, you're taking my coach, everything that I am, and you're going to Dallas, and you're going to play the Cowboys? Play the Cowboys?
We were pissed off at the union. We were pissed off at the owners. We just decided there was no reason to continue. I called the union to let them know that we had voted to go back in. And I think that's when they realized that it was over.
What
What began with a bang appears to be ending with a whimper. The NFL player strike has crumbled, dissolved, come apart at the seams. You name it, and as of now, the NFL owners are in the driver's seat.
Could you give me a little room where
Let's face it, we got nothing. I mean, we got it right in the backside.
It's unfair to the players to continue making great sacrifices in the face of blatant display of monopoly powers. The player reps, therefore, voted today to send the players back to work.
Veteran players crossed, and the owners just sat back and reeled us all in. They knew, you know, it was a domino effect, and guys had to look at themselves and say, am I going to be a martyr?
The players had suffered a humiliating defeat. They were ready to return to the field, but the owners would launch one last salvo.
In city after city, teams had already voted en masse to go back to the stadium. But when they got there, they were told in every case that they had missed the deadline for playing this weekend.
We knew the deadline, but we figured they changed everything else. Why couldn't they change the deadline?
Bottom line is they're locking us out. We can't play. We're on strike all at once.
We're not locking out anyone, Sonny, because it was well publicized that any player who failed to return by 1 p.m. on Wednesday would not be eligible to play on Sunday or Monday.
In retrospect, it seems the players' strike has been for players' bargaining power what Pearl Harbor was for diplomacy.
It's a tough situation for them, you know. They'd rather be out there playing, I'm sure, but, you know, they're going to have to sit out one more game, and we're gonna go out and play hard and try and get them another win and get them in first place.
I'm not rooting for them. It's like, who do you root for if Libya fights Iran? My answer is nobody.
I didn't give a shit what they thought because it had no impact about what was going to happen to us.
We've got some aces in the deck here. You know, we didn't just hold back. Coach Gibbs put a lot of pressure on the
We back. Were all hyped on it. This is your dream, and it's for the division lead? Oh, hell yeah, give me a second and third serving of that.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Texas Stadium for this, the final replacement game of the NFL season.
You look at the Dallas Cowboys, and you're going to recognize those names that are above the numbers. Not so with the Washington Redskins.
This was the Christians to the Lions. I don't know what the odds were, but you could have made them 1,000,000 to 1 in that game.
Something about the Cowboys, that little pretty boy image, I just never liked it, and I love it.
Joe Gibbs walks in the room. He had this half-assed grin. He said, guys, we're playing the Dallas Cowboys tonight, and they're basically the Dallas Cowboys.
Joe walking around the locker room, come on, Q. Come on, McHugh. And just getting this up.
NFL players, some of the best in the world, are going to be playing across from you in this game. You want to match up and show people that you can play at this level? This is your opportunity.
Here we are, baby. We're the Scabskins playing for the division lead. Come on now.
The Washington Redskins were the only team that remained unified throughout the strike.
The whole country's watching Monday Night Football. And first play of the game, they blow a big hole in us, and here comes Dorsett with the ball up. Stiff arm me in my helmet. He actually broke my nose. There's blood all over my body. Shut up. I don't even care. Just step that thing for me. Like, let's go. Come on now.
Third down one, Dorsett. Could have dropped the football in there. The Redskins are saying that they have the football. Now, Dorsett had not fumbled.
They got it.
And 8 consecutive games into the night, and this time he coughs it up.
This crowd just doesn't know how to react.
By the numbers and on paper, they should beat us. The pressure was on them. We just competed.
Rubert rolls out and dumps it off.
Let's see, Randy White 9 times in the Pro Bowl, and Derek Brills buries it.
I think we probably had a tremendous psychological advantage because our guys were all together. And they're all fighting their heart out, and from the Cowboys' standpoint, that wasn't the case.
We were up in the game, and things were going very well.
Mark at the 37, second down and 6, and pressure on Rubert, and down goes Rubert.
Rubert appears to be shaken up.
And Rubert now is going to have to go to the sidelines. The Redskins calling timeout.
I'm on the sideline watching the game. Tony! And they, Tony, get your helmet. You got to go in.
Will appear that we'll have a new quarterback, Tony Robinson, who had to meet with Commissioner Pete Rozelle prior to reporting to the Redskins regarding drug-related convictions.
If you come in cold at quarterback into that situation, that was unselling for all of us.
Grab my helmet, and the coach just tell me this. Run the offense, you know. Just do what you've been doing and everything. So he calls the play. I don't remember what play it was, but I'm Tony Robinson, and, you know, we're the Washington Redskins. We're coming here to your stadium and coming to destroy y'all.
And he looks over third down and six. It's away from Ed Jones. And fires upfield, and that was his first play in the National Football League. And look at that. It's a Redskin first down.
I think that right there showed the toughness of Tony Robinson, and which at that time we definitely needed.
Here comes a full blitz against Robinson. Very cool move by Tony Robinson. Flushed out of the pocket. Intended for McKillen. Is he inbound?
He zipped that thing on a clothesline. You could have hung your socks on to dry. I got my big toe and my pinky toe on the line. And whoop.
Some big plays by McKillen tonight. Vitale once again. No, a bootleg. And a handoff to Wilson. 16-yard touchdown.
Tony Robinson came in like Con Air, like on chains and shackles. That kind of set the mode for the team, you know.
It's hard to root for the guys who replaced you. But then, you know, as the game progressed, that you get the pit in your stomach. You definitely don't want the Cowboys to win.
Dallas now has a big order in front. 2:37 remaining.
I can just remember that last drive. It was surreal. It seems like the last 2 minutes of that game lasted hours. We were either going to hold them off and win, or they were going to score and beat us.
They're down and seven. Clock ticking away. Seconds, 8 seconds, 7 seconds, and the Cowboys stop the clock with their final timeout. First place, the NFC East on the line.
That goal line stand, and to turn to those guys and know that this is it. There's our backs against the wall. This is our last play.
Do not fold on me now, guys. We have come too far. Do not turn back now.
We have learned to love each other and to play for each other in 3 weeks. This is it, because we knew we were going home after this.
That brotherhood that I had formed with those guys, and I believed in those guys. I could cry right now. Don't be the guy that blows it. Do your job. Win the damn game.
This has to be a play into the end zone. Incomplete. Jubilation on the side of the Redskins. They have won their three replacement games.
When the clock struck zero, Washington was on top. Best feeling in the world.
Joe Gibbs was being carried off by a bunch of youngsters.
We hate the Cowboys. For those replacement players to go out there and kick their ass, there could be nothing finer.
It's the absolute ultimate insult, and it was a beautiful thing to watch.
Now, wasn't it one of the great games you've ever seen in your life? Now, really and truly, answer me, wasn't it?
These guys play their guts out in every game, and I don't know that I could ask for anything more.
For us, it was jubilation, man. It was our Super Bowl. We did it.
This is the greatest feeling I'll ever forget this in my life. I'll be able to remember it, tell my grandkids and my children about it. All my friends, I hope they're all watching. I hope they enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was great.
It was a forgettable ending to an unforgettable saga for the NFL, the replacement games. How could the Cowboys lose to the Redskins, a team with no strike breakers?
The concept of winning football, it's a team game. Joe Gibbs, and I give him all the credit in the world for this, he felt team chemistry was number one. I think with Dallas, they felt if maybe they could steal three wins here, be in first place coming out of the strike, might give them the momentum to ride through to a playoff appearance. And ignoring team chemistry, which totally backfired.
It's hard to imagine a team more fractured in sports history than the Cowboys were after the 1987 players' strike. Fans had come to resent players like Tony Dorsett, the people they were supposed to cheer for.
By the end of 1987, the Cowboys were on their way to another losing season. Tony Dorsett was asking to be traded. It was all falling apart.
That was really the beginning of the end. Not for just the Cowboys, but for one of the greatest coaches in the history of the NFL.
Tom Landry would never have another winning record. Less than 18 months after losing to Washington, the legendary coach was fired by the team he made famous. 8 weeks later, Tex Schramm resigned after 29 years as general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. But they weren't the only casualties of the strike.
replacement players knew during that third game that they were going to be gone. I don't think they had a sense of how quickly they were going to be gone. For the huge majority of them, it was over on Monday.
Last night I was in the NFL playing against the Dallas Cowboys, and tomorrow I'll be back at my desk making an honest living, sort of.
They were the ultimate Cinderella story, and that was the reason why the Scabs were so beloved.
I remember going out to some bars in Georgetown, and people broke out in applause for us. You know, they love their Redskins, you know, and we replaced those Redskins to them.
After we beat the Cowboys and flew back to Washington, there was a meeting scheduled for the next day.
And at that point, then you went into who was going to stick around and who was not going to stick around.
There definitely was some emotion where you kind of look at it and say, man, the guy gave it everything we had.
Joe Gibbs was, I played for 7 different pro football teams, you know, and besides my dad, he's probably the coolest coach I ever played for. Everything he said, you listened to, and when he turned to me, and I could just see it in his eyes, you know, and he just kind of nodded his head. He said, you can play in this league, kid, and I wish we could keep you around here.
When I was packing my gear, and I remember slowly putting it in the bag, that was the end of the road for me. That, you know, I played my hand out, and I wasn't it wasn't in the cards for me to play 10 years in the NFL.
I think most guys are drug away kicking and screaming, especially guys that, you know, only got a taste of it. In a way, they were used, you know. I mean, I can certainly understand how they feel.
It was crushing. It, you know, besides the death in the family or something to that effect, it was something that really, really hurt you deep down inside.
It must have been awful for those guys, especially the ones who had some success as a replacement player and they don't get an opportunity.
Your whole life, you know, you were a football player and they ripped that out of you. It is as if a part of you died.
I mean, it's like a scar. I mean, just like people with calling it a scab, once it's healed up, you don't want to have anything to do with it.
Not making the team, quarterback Tony Robinson, who came off the bench to lead the Skins against Dallas last night.
Well, Coach Gibbs came and told me himself that they were going to release me. The stipulations were, once I got through playing, that I had to turn myself in. They took me to jail and they extradited me back to Knoxville. And I went and done 4 years, 10 months. Well, I knew my football days were over with, you know, so. But one thing I wanted to do was get this behind me. You know, that was the main thing. Get this behind me so I can go on and live my life, you know?
Coach Joe Gibbs this afternoon informed 13 players they'd made the regular roster.
They're the ones that we really felt like were the ones that would fit in with us and would have a chance talent-wise with us. We did keep a few of those, you know, strike players on our team because we felt like they had earned it.
I was one of a handful of guys that was identified as guys that were going to be retained. I couldn't believe it. It's like, this just gets better.
And there still stands a few very proud replacement players. One is tight end Craig McEwen. Did he ever think he would be in this position?
I was hoping. I had a few prayers going, and it's come to happen, and I'm happy to be here.
But there was a lot of guys that were pissed off.
Unity is built in training camp and through years, not through telling people who the team is going to be. It's, I don't know, it's bizarre.
Now, there was tension in the locker room with those guys. I can tell you that.
New dummies to hit.
We didn't like them. We might have hated them. We couldn't accept them.
Among those making the roster were several standouts, including Redskin pass-catching record holder Anthony Allen.
I stayed on after the strike was over, played the rest of the season with the team.
They come into the practice, and there it was. It really was Jay Schrader throwing a pass to Anthony Allen. It really happened.
Obviously proved something to Coach Gibbs that they, you know, can have a chance of playing in this league. Now we'll find out
If they can perform the way they did, then they deserve a job. But if they can't, then we'll weed them out.
The best thing that might have happened to them was that strike. People don't realize that. This team was banged up. This team needed that break.
Having lost their last game before the strike, returning Washington players now found themselves poised for a run at the division title, thanks to three consecutive division wins by their replacements.
We still had a chance to make the playoffs and go to the Super Bowl.
I think the Redskins replacement players were so successful that when the regular Redskins came back, it wasn't like, hey, the Redskins are back. It was like, oh, they're back. Okay, let's see this.
Now we were in first place. We were coming home to play the Jets.
The replacements had kind of won the hearts of the fans, and we didn't show up that first game.
They were trailing the Jets 16-7 in the fourth quarter, and boos started raining down.
Kelvin Bryant drops a pass, and the fans at RFK Stadium chanted, "We want the Scavs."
Again, the chant of, "We want the Scavs."
I mean, it was loud and clear. I was sitting up there in the owner's box, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is gonna get ugly.
To bring back the Scabs kind of hit home a little bit, and everybody kind of said, hey, we better win this thing or it could be a rough week.
Washington came back to win that game on their way to a division title. Their good fortune continued in the playoffs as they made it to the NFC Championship game, where some replacement players continued to make an impact.
Caught by Anthony Allen.
I caught one pass against Minnesota in the NFC Championship game.
You say, who's Anthony Allen? He's one of the guys who was a replacement player for this Redskins team. It's a heck of a catch.
Whether you played during the strike game or not, I still just, I consider myself a football player. At some point, they had to thank you for the job you did.
The Redskins number one!
It was a pipe dream for us to think we may set these guys up to win a Super Bowl. But it did happen.
And the head coach of the Washington Redskins, Joe Gibbs.
Watching the Super Bowl, it was kind of a bittersweet thing. My boss on my first day asked me, what are you doing here and why are you not at the Super Bowl? First of all, they didn't invite me to the Super Bowl.
So try to keep moving. Move towards the post lead and try to get around it. Okay, you could be of some use here.
I watched the game in my parents' house. That was maybe one of the few times in my life that I actually got emotional watching a football game.
The Redskins were, by contract, supposed to give us all the right to buy two tickets to the Super Bowl.
You had to pay for a ticket to the Super Bowl?
And pay for the tickets to the Super Bowl. It's kind of funny, huh? I went to the Super Bowl, and I was high-fiving people all over town. It was almost embarrassing, you know?
I watched the Super Bowl from prison. Everybody in prison was for the Denver Broncos. And... well, I just said, I'll tell y'all what, you for the Denver Broncos, if you want to bet, I'll cover every bet in the place. And I got Washington Redskins. I said, put your money up.
And Williams going deep. Sanders beats Haynes. Sanders out in front. 80 yards, touchdown.
Thank you, Doug Williams. Thank you.
Our congratulations to Joe Gibbs, the Redskins, and in particular, Doug Williams. Sensational.
Oh, yeah. It was mighty quiet in the jailhouse that night.
Where's Ricky Sanders?
There you go.
I was at the White House. I shook Ronald Reagan's hand. I had no reason to believe I wasn't getting a ring until the ring fittings had come and gone and nobody checked me.
Thank you for doing that.
I thought being active for 4 weeks, it was just a foregone conclusion that we would be getting rings.
I was promised those three games were regular season football games in every way. It was heartbreaking.
Those crucial victories helped us win the division and have a chance to play at home and get to the Super Bowl.
Deserve Super Bowl
rings? That one would be hard for me to answer. And I don't know how to have a good answer for that. I would say, you know, they certainly deserved a lot of credit, but a Super Bowl ring, it would be kind of hard for me to answer it. I think that was a very small portion of Redskin history.
Gibbs actually coached the replacements as if to win football games, and that's what carried us on to the Super Bowl.
They were deserving, but it was a unique situation. This was a strike. Those players got playoff shares. In fact, they got a 50% playoff share, which is about 35,000, as I remember it. But I think there had to be a difference on the standard for the Super Bowl ring.
That's it. Hold it right up there.
I think when I think about all the ups and downs that I've been through, and, you know, I can look at this ring, all that is over with.
Everywhere I go, everybody asks me, where's your ring? Where's your ring? I mean, it's... There isn't a day that doesn't go by that somebody doesn't ask me, well, how come you didn't get a ring? Well, where's your ring?
Hey, where's your ring? I don't have a ring. It's an owner's decision, and he decided not to give us a ring. You know, the guy who parks the cars at Redskin Park got a ring. The girl who answers the phone up front got a ring. Nothing.
Well, if you're eligible for playoff money, how are you not eligible to receive a ring?
That is a rhetorical question, isn't it? It doesn't deserve an answer.
We certainly did discuss it, but we didn't have enough money from the league in order to give another squad Super Bowl rings. They're terribly expensive. Those rings were paid for by the National Football League. Then the clubs have to allocate that out to the people who were working at the Washington Redskins, players and coaches and front office staff.
Those guys who work their butts off loading the trucks and moving equipment around, they're going to get rings. And they deserve it. But these guys, we're done with them.
I played all the way through the championship game that year against Minnesota, and I didn't play in the Super Bowl, but by playing the NFC playoff game, got a ring. The strike team won every game we played for the Redskins. And no matter what happens, they can't take that from us, whether you got a ring or not. We did our job for those 3 weeks.
After the rings were distributed, one of the coaches, he said, why don't you take mine and have some duplicates made? You know, that's a difficult ring to replicate. I was disappointed with the settings. I didn't think they'd set the stones very well. Love it and hate it. I love it. I earned it. In some ways, it's a kind of a metaphor for the whole experience. It's not quite the real thing.
To say they were used, to say they were used and forgotten, discarded, yes.
They do not have rings. They do not go to team functions. They are not listed as official alumni for the Redskins.
I've never been invited to Redskin Park again. I haven't heard anything from the Redskins, anything. You know, not even a letter or nothing. You know, all I got from the Redskins was, hey, thank you. And see ya.
There are some glaring things here that should be corrected. I'm not exactly going to hold my breath. But those players deserve Super Bowl rings.
They don't win a Super Bowl without these guys. So it's time that someone steps up and says that.
I have to say they were Redskins. They wore the burgundy and gold. They wore the uniform. And I think they should be able to have their day in the sun.
I was a little upset that some of the replacement guys weren't recognized for what they did, because we would never have gotten where we were that year without those guys.
It's unfortunate that those guys didn't share in the ring, because they did put us in position to go forward.
Well, they have to get credit. I mean, the games counted, so absolutely.
They should be recognized. It was a special time. It was a difficult time. Those games are in that book. They're there for a reason because that's history.
So if they get rings, I'm very happy for them.
What they did those 3 weeks has to be monumental in success of that year. Now is the time that we should welcome those guys back because they were part of the team.
For me, microphone's like, well, aren't you upset you don't have a Super Bowl ring? Aren't you upset? I'm not upset about anything. I got to spend time with Joe Gibbs and Bobby Bethard, who molded me so that I could go out and be the business professional that I became.
I think one of the hardest things that I've ever experienced has been the end of a football player's football life. And that was a lot of their identity. They loved it. For many of them, they kind of think it's going on forever.
All right, at least you have an excuse. I don't.
And you have to be the one to tell them that, you know, their career's over. And it's just a devastating time for them.
Make sure we're communicating. This is it, man. This is what we do right here.
And so what you hope most of the time is that they're able to prepare themselves for the rest of their life.
You're going to have an outcome on Friday night. It's going to be a win or a loss. That's the way it goes. We've got to do a better job of hitting these things in stride. The big picture, the win and the loss may not matter so much down the road, but how you handle it's going to matter every day of your life.
The game was good to me. I loved every moment of playing football. But at the same time, when it's over, it's over. And you got to be able to move on from it. You got to raise your kids. You got to support your wife. It helps you to transition and do other things and enjoy more than life than just being an athlete or being a football player.
You know, I think about the guys, wonder what could have been if I'd made the team. You know, look what I got. I made the team, I got the ring. And even still yet, I feel unfulfilled. Sometimes I feel like I'm losing. So it doesn't fix you. The game doesn't fix you. The ring doesn't define you. There's so much more that's out there than football and life, and I'm coming to terms with that. But sometimes I just wish Coach Gibbs would just show up in the room, like, all right, Craig, here's the practice plan for today. Here's what we're gonna do. Here's what we're preparing for.
Listen. First half over with. The second half, it's our half, okay? Hey, we all make mistakes. I make mistakes too, okay? Big mistakes, all right? Okay? What y'all doing is real small. I done made big mistakes, okay? So what we gonna do about that? We gonna clear it up, right? We clear it up?
Yes, sir.
We gonna clear it up?
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. Come on, now.
Let's go.
Offense. I got a second chance at Washington. And I showed everybody that I could do it. And now I'm getting another second chance at life again. Hey, good run, son. Good run, son. During the football season, I coach a Pee Wee football team called the Country Club Panthers. You know, I'm just trying to lead them in the right way so that they don't have to follow the path that I took. You know, I don't want the things that happen to me happen to them. There you go, Steph. There you go, baby. I'm a tough individual. Let's go! You know, words never bothered me a lot. You know, I'm ex-con, replacement player, scab, or whatever you want to call it. You call me what you want, but when I get on that football field, I'm a football player.
Jump on left, hand off left. Let's go.
And back in my day, I think I played with the best of them. You can never take that away. Never take that away.
1, 2, 3, break it down!
All right.
Dream come true. It's always been a dream of mine to play in the NFL and hopefully win a Super Bowl. And even though it's 30 years later, you know what I'm saying? Hey, we got a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? It's, can't be happier, man. Can't be happier.
This is the ultimate validation of what we did. It's like I was embarrassed of it for a while, but now I'm proud of it and I'm proud of these guys. I was an NFL player, and I am an NFL player, and this, I got this to prove it.